That with Jackie making us follow that. Yes, and they brought him diapers. That's very, very, very important part of babies, just so we all remember that.
So we're all going to partake in communion together this morning, and kind of the theme or question this morning is why? The most obvious reason is because Jesus said to. First and foremost, in Luke 22:14-20, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
In Matthew, first chapter, in about 22, it starts, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's another reason that we take communion. It's a recognition that God is with us. As we take of the blood and we take of the new covenant in the blood and we take of that broken body, that we think very carefully and very sweetly on the fact that because God is with us, we are privileged to be able to take communion together this morning.
Let's just give a minute for everybody to get the elements. Okay. Let us take the elements, the bread, his body, broken for us, born in a manger, nailed to a cross, and is seated this morning at the right hand of Father God. We remember you this morning, Jesus, all that you have done. Let us partake in the bread together. And the cup, the fruit of the vine, the New Testament in his blood, shed for us, so that we can experience a new life in Christ, restored to relationship with God. We remember you this morning, Jesus, again, for all that you have done. Let's partake in the cup. Thank you for sharing in that this morning with us. And most of all, thank you, Jesus. Merry Christmas to all of you, and God bless.
Goes on to talk about how the world didn't know him. The world wasn't ready for him. God was ready for us, but the world, we get so lost. We get so sidetracked, so caught up in other things. We can have a day where you know, we just think everything's perfect and flowing so great and everything's clicking and then the very next day you can be thinking about how everything is so wrong all around you. And we're so fickle, we're so quick to lose our focus, but God didn't. He sent the Word to become flesh, to shed light in your life, to be there for you, to lead you back to Him. So we're just gonna just keep worshiping, just continue to have that heart of worship as we just think about how amazing the gift of Jesus is. The heavens roar, the angels sing, all glory to our God and King. O night divine, Savior of the world.
Absolutely beautiful. Amen. Thank you, Esther, and all the rest of the gang, the team. Do you like that video of the kids? I could watch that over and over and over again. Well, Merry Christmas. What a great and beautiful, I'll tell you what, I'd rather, if it's going to get down into the 20s at night, that we had snow. But while we are complaining, let me remind you that we live in the most perfect, beautiful climate right now, just about all over the United States for this time of the year. We have a whole lot to be thankful for. Now, Lord, we do ask for rain. Amen. Or snow. We need it. But I'll tell you what a beautiful Christmas Eve day this is. Isn't it great? You got your shopping finished up with? Have you seen the people? You'll see them tonight if you still have shopping to do. With their eyes glazed over. They look demon-possessed. Anything but joy. I'll never forget. I'm serious. Like in the movie, I remember when we were living in Florida, I went into a place and I watched people having a cat fight over a clothes rack. And this is like on Christmas Eve. It's crazy out there right now. But at any rate, what a great time of the year. How blessed we are to know the reason for the season. And it sure isn't about all that. And we want to welcome each and every one of you. If you're new here with us, I see mostly family. But if you're new here with us, we want to welcome you. Come on, people, let's give them a great big God bless you. So glad that you're here. This obviously is not a normal Sunday morning service. We did that on purpose. This is our Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve day. Christmas Eve day morning service. Can you do that? Can you somehow adjust that? So this is it. And pray that you're just blessed and enjoy this time as we celebrate together. I'm especially looking forward to sometime after church, we're going down and picking up my youngest son, Luke, who's coming in from L.A. through till Wednesday. And there's a couple of guys that don't know it, but I'm going to throw the men's group at them and try to pawn off Wednesday night on somebody. I can spend a little time with my boy. If I can't, well, then we'll just do something else. At any rate, this will be the first time, I believe, in several years that we've had all four of our kids with us for Christmas. So we'll have Rebecca and Bruce, Amber, who is here and going to be heading back, probably back to L.A., Luke, who's coming in, Levi, who's with us currently. So that's a special, special time for us. And we pray that you have a blessed, blessed time with your families as well. And I want you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. Esther referenced John chapter 1, and I want you to just look very quickly. I know typically we'd go to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story, but I wanted to take a little bit different approach. I would encourage you parents who have young children in your homes. We used to do this when our kids were younger, and certainly did it in our youth and children's programs and ministries that we involved in the past. Take the time to read Luke chapter 2 to your children. Let them know. Take that time. Dads, be leaders. Homes without dads, moms, be that leader. And read that passage to your kids. Remind them of what this really is all about. How many of you know Jesus really is? This isn't cliche, this is for real. Jesus really is the reason for the season. How many are glad for Jesus today? Yeah. Amen. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And I want to read down, all the way down to one of my favorite verses, verse 17. But we will start with verse 1. And I want to share just a couple of interesting points with you. And then pray with you, and then we'll conclude this morning. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God." And if your Bible's like mine, Word has a capital W. So that gives you a good hint of where we're going, if you're not familiar with this passage. "And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things," the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Colossians and Hebrews 1 both affirm and confirm these truths. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John, speaking of John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that was sent to bear. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's a fascinating statement. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own, speaking of the Jews, his own received him not. How many know God's got a plan for the Jews? Amen. Ongoing. Praise the Lord. But as many, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, underline it. If you don't like to underline in your Bible, then underline in your neighbor's Bible. I want you underlining this somewhere. Look what it says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a powerful thing. How many can join me this morning in lifting your hands and thanking God for this great gift? If you can't do that, you're in the right place. How he loves you. He's not upset at you. He's not angry at you. My Bible says that he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. The price has already been paid. All we've got to do is reach out and take the free gift, the greatest gift ever. You're talking about a Christmas gift. The gift of salvation that doesn't come by works. It comes simply by faith and saying, thank you, Father, for paying the price for me. Jesus gave himself. This is what Scripture says. As many as received him. This isn't tough. This isn't hard. Not much religious about this. As many as received him. How many receive him today, afresh and anew in your life, every part of you? We've been talking on Wednesdays about his lordship. Savior and Lord. What a beautiful thing. To them gave he power to become. That's an interesting way to put it. How many know the power of the gospel changes lives? We're glad for the power of the gospel. Paul said it this way in Romans 1:16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto so-so. Salvation, an all-inclusive term. Every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. Peace of mind. Healing in your body. Most importantly, eternal redemption for those who believe. And this is what he says, as many as received unto them, he gave power. Can you say power this morning? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. This is the one that Esther referenced. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And I love 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We're so thankful for the law. As Paul said, it was our schoolmaster. those of us who were exposed to the law, it brought me to the end of myself. It showed me that my efforts at righteousness got me nowhere. For this is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. A free gift. How thankful we are today. How thankful we are today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. How many are familiar with Ron Hutchcraft? Radio program. Nobody ever heard of Ron Hutchcraft? I've kept track with him through the years. Tremendous stuff. He tells a story of a little town in Cornwall, New York. He said it was the night of the annual Christmas pageant. Since there was no nearby malls or cities to compete with, the pageant is pretty much packed out every year. It's an especially big deal for the children in town. They get to try out for the roles in the Christmas story, and so everybody wants to be a part. Which leads us to the problem of Harold. Harold wanted to be in the play too, but he was kind of slow and a simple kid. The directors were ambivalent. I mean, they knew Harold would be crushed if he didn't have a part, but they were afraid he might mess up the town's magic moment if he did. Finally, they decided to cast Harold as the innkeeper, the one who turns Mary and Joseph away the night Jesus was to be born. His line, his only line, was, "I'm sorry, we have no room." Well, no one could imagine that what that one line was going to do to everyone's Christmas. The night of the pageant, the church was packed, as usual. I mean, the set was in place, and there was an entire wall with scenes of Bethlehem painted on it, including the door of the inn where Harold would greet and then turn away the young Jewish travelers. Backstage, the angels were playing frisbee with their halos. We can all see that if you haven't been there. The shepherds were waiting till the last minute to put on their annually laundered bathrobes, and Harold was being personally coached by nervous directors. Now remember, Harold, when Joseph says, "Do you have room for the night?" You say instantly, Harold said, "I'm sorry, we have no room." Whew. Deep sigh of relief, the directors looked at each other. Somewhat hopefully, they'd done all they could do. Well, the Christmas story unfolded according to the plan. Angels singing, Joseph's dream, the trip to Bethlehem. Finally, Joseph and Mary arrived at the door of the Bethlehem Inn, looked appropriately tired, discussing whether the baby might come tonight. Joseph knocked on the inn door. Backstage, the directors were just out of sight, coaching Harold to open the door now. And wouldn't you know, the door was stuck. The whole set shook as he pulled on it. Harold tried to get that door open. Finally, he did. And Joseph asked his question on cue, "Do you have a room for the night?" Harold froze. From backstage, a loud whisper could be heard, "I'm sorry, we have no room." Harold mumbled, "I'm sorry, we have no room." And with a little coaching, he shut the door. Well, the directors heaved a sigh of relief prematurely. As Mary and Joseph disappeared into the night, the set suddenly started shaking again. The door opened, and Harold was back. And then, in an unrehearsed moment, that folks will never forget. I don't know why I do this. That folks would never forget. Harold went on running. Harold went running after the young couple, shouting as loud as he could, "Wait, wait, you can have my room." That's pretty awesome. I think little Harold may have understood the real issue of Christmas better than anyone there that night. How can you leave Jesus outside? I pray this morning, the few things that we share, if you don't know the Lord, it's a simple heart belief and a confession of that heart belief that acknowledges and says, I believe you are the Son of God and that you were raised from the dead for me. The Bible says upon that profession, there's a supernatural change in the heart of man. It's described by Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he, she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. How many are glad for that truth today? And all things have become new. You have to make room for Jesus. Now, if you do know the Lord, I pray that during the Christmas hubbub that we push some things aside and make some room. How about you? What would you do with the Son of God who came to earth for you if you don't know him? This one who trades a throne room for a stable. I love what he says here. Angel praise for human mockery. This creator who gives himself on the cross. The Bible gives us the only appropriate response in Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that awesome? I've got a few more things I want to share, but right now, I'd like for every head to be bowed, if you would please, every eye closed, out of respect for those around you. And I want us together as a congregation to make this profession of faith. If you've never done this before, or never have done it right now under this anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to say these words with everything you have. And that the Lord does a work in your heart. For those who are born again, it's an affirmation of who he is. Would you say with me out loud, repeat after me, Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for coming in the first place. And for all that you demonstrated of the love of God. For the scripture says of you that you went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Today, I believe you truly are the Son of God, my Savior, King and Lord. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead, and I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me and for doing a miracle in my life. In your name, I pray and thank you right now. Amen and amen. Remain, eyes closed, head bowed, nobody looking around. I will not call you up here. I will not embarrass you. But if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you lift up your hand high where I can see you? Isn't that awesome? Anybody else? You prayed that prayer? Somebody else? That is so tremendous. Another? That is so awesome. These are adults. You can slip your hand back down. Is there anybody else? I want to pray for you that raised your hands this morning. That is so beautiful. I want to pray for each of you right now. Congregation, would you now look this way? Join your hearts with me in faith. Father, for these adults who this morning in this place have heard the voice of your precious Holy Spirit and responded, Father, I thank you today. Would you pray with me, people? I thank you today in Jesus' name that these will never be the same. We thank you for the miracle of the new birth. What a Christmas gift this is. Father, I thank you for it. Just as your word says, I speak over my brother and over my sister today, this miraculous truth that upon your right now profession of faith, you will never be the same. Here's what the word of God says about you. You have become a new creature on the inside. Old things, as far as God is concerned, forever have passed away. The past no longer has a hold on you. The past no longer dictates your future. The past no longer is your identity. But new in Jesus, with a new identity, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for your work in their lives. Never the same. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for a hunger for the Word. I thank you for a hunger to be around the people of God. I thank you, Father, for a supernatural confirmation this week of your great love in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I would love for, at the end of the service, I'll remain up front when we dismiss. I would love to shake hands with you briefly and pray with you personally. We'd love to do that. So if you have time and are able to do that, we invite you. I'd love to meet you and pray with you and visit with you just a few minutes more. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what this is all about. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is fantastic. Joy to the world. The author of the chorus, Christmas Carol, that we now know. Since my youngest memories, Joy to the World was that one that always picked me up. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you could be in a shopping mall and there go the bells. Ding, ding, da, ding. And you're just like, it does something to you, Joy to the World. Now, I'm not going to take time to go into who the author was as much as I'd like to for the sake of time this morning. But for some of you that feel like you don't have a part to play, you're too old, you're too young, you're too uneducated, you're too this, that, or the other. Isaac Watts was barely 5 feet tall, was sickly all his life, skinny rail of a man with an oversized head from a disease that he struggled with. And yet this man is considered one of the greatest writer of hymns. How many have heard the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross? It's one that will send chills up and down, coursing through you. How many are glad today for the wondrous cross of the Lord? That's Isaac Watts and many others. Now, Isaac Watts was often called the father of English hymnody. He wrote Joy to the World in 1719 as a celebration of Christ's second coming, not his first advent. Interesting. This Christmas carol was not what we always thought it was. It's certainly a beautiful Christmas carol, and I don't want anybody to change. I don't think it happened at this point anyway, but it was not originally written as a Christmas carol. Nevertheless, it became one of the best-loved Christmas songs in the world, which is fitting since Christ's first coming in the incarnation and his second coming to fulfill and complete his kingdom are parts of the same end-time theme that we see in the Bible. Consider Watts' words this Christmas while remembering that Christ's flesh and blood incarnation that we just read about in John chapter 1 is to be reflected in the multi-ethnic unity and joy of his people and in his churches here and now. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart, like little Harold, prepare him room. It's certainly true that it's the foolish things, supposedly, that confound the wise. Out of the mouth of babes, Psalms tells us he ordains strength. Harold had the main theme, the main message. And I love it in this song. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Verse 2, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. How many are glad for that? Let men their songs employ, while fields, floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Let no more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Do you believe that this morning? This is a Christmas carol that originally was out about the second coming that is still yet to happen. How many are glad that the Bible declares, not only do you and I in this physical body await the completion of our redemption, but the earth itself groans in travail awaiting the day of its redemption when Jesus will set his feet on the Mount of Olives and be King and Lord forever in a redeemed and a restored planet earth. This is a supernatural book. Can I take time for something that I probably shouldn't? I'm going to anyway because I'm in charge. Okay. You say that just sounds like silliness. I know most of you in here don't think that. This is something that we shared in our Wednesday night theme, Christian philosophy. We're going through a book by Brother Womack. And in there, in the beginning, we talked about how supernatural this inerrant and infallible book called the Word of God is. I understand there's translation error. That's translation. That has nothing to do with the Word of God itself. How many are glad it is forever settled? You can take God's Word to the bank. It works. Can you join me in saying every time? Come on, help me out, people. Every time. His Word works. Hallelujah. In his book, we shared this just for fun. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ in the Bible. Just 8. Now, if you study the book of Psalms, there are over 80 specific prophecies in reference to Christ. Over 80. Bump your neighbor. I know it's warm in here and it's Christmas. Wake him up. Over 80 prophecies about Jesus alone. I don't remember what the number is, but it's in the hundreds in reference to the rest of the Old Testament. Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 10 to the 17th power. Did I say that right? Okay. That would be 1 in, and I'm not even going to count the zeros, 100 quadrillion. Yeah, that's far beyond anything I could imagine. Stoner suggests that if we take 10 to the 17th in silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas, they will cover all the state 2 feet deep. Now mark one of those silver dollars, stir up the whole mass thoroughly, blindfold a man and tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up that one marked silver dollar. What chance would we have of getting the right one? Stoner concludes just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies, 8, not 80, 8, and having them all come true in any one man, providing they wrote them in their own wisdom. How many are glad today for the Word of God that is supernatural? God's own Word. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Aren't you glad for the living Word of God, Jesus? Isn't it just tremendous? Now I want to go back to our song. Let no more let sin and sorrows nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. For he rules the world. This is the last verse of Joy to the World. With truth and grace he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Watt's hymn was based on his meditation in Psalm 98, 4 through 9. Listen to where this Christmas carol that we all know came from. Psalm 98, 4 through 9. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the earth with righteousness and the people with equity. There's more I wanted to share here. I don't have the time, so I need to condense it. But I do want you to know something interesting about Isaac Watts. He was considered a nonconformist. That wasn't just a term like today, but this was actually a group of people who rejected the religious trappings of the Church of England. He had seen the revelation of the new covenant in his day. Watts believed the Psalm of David ought to be translated into explicitly Christian songs for the use of the church according to the clear revelation of the gospel in the New Testament. That's pretty awesome. He unapologetically approach the scripture, prejudiced by Christ and his kingdom. I'd say that's a good form of prejudice. He says there are also many deficiencies of light and glory, which our Lord Jesus and his apostles, think of this is in the 1700s. His apostles have supplied in the writings of the New Testament, and with this advantage, I have composed these spiritual songs, which are now presented to the world. Watts, in the early 1700s, listen, people, he complained of the dull indifference that many demonstrated. I have a quote from him. I don't have time to do it. An actual quote he penned. He said he complained of the dull indifference that many demonstrated in corporate worship. He longed to make the gospel more real and accessible in worship. Watts asserted, in these last days of the gospel, we are brought almost within sight of the kingdom of our Lord, yet we are very much unacquainted with the songs of the New Jerusalem and unpracticed in the work of praise. And he goes on to talk about his intentions for why he wrote this song. That is our Christmas carol, Joy to the World. I don't really have time, but a few quick scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angels announce good tidings of great joy. That's the one thing that should mark a Christian. We've been talking about love. But you know, joy emanates from real love. And this should mark the believer. Sometimes it takes a step of faith. Nehemiah put it this way, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's powerful. The Bible says in Luke 2 that the baby, in Luke, he says that the baby John in Elizabeth's womb, in the presence of Jesus, in Mary, leapt in the womb for, you know the word, joy. Mary in her song speaks of joy. John 15:11, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Those of you who confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray today in Jesus' name that that joy would just flow and flow like never before. How he loves you, how he has forgiven and totally paid the price. Walk in that with heart belief and watch and see what God does in your life. Can everybody reach out and take a hold of that this morning? That your joy might be full. Many know Jesus as the man of sorrows, but I doubt very many, even church people, know him as the Jesus of joy. Last verse, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 says, God has anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. Would you join me a cappella right now? How many are glad for joy? Yeah. Oh, man. Let's sing the first stanza and that alone. Sing with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every herald prepare him. I've got room for you. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Now, some of y'all have heard about joy. You sing about joy, but you need to notify your face. Tap your neighbor, say, man, the joy of the Lord. Come on, shout it out this morning. The joy of the Lord in this Christmas season is my strength. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We're ready. Thank you, guys. Joy.